you can be seated. So, it's Christmas! And so I'm really thankful you came out on this day because, you know, this only happened, it only happened in 11 years. It only happens like once every so often, and this is the day that we celebrate our Savior's birth. I know it's not the accurate one, but it's the one we use. So we're going to take it to celebrate him. And so, isn't he wonderful?
Yes.
He's wonderful. So here's the deal about Jesus. So long ago when he came, they didn't know yet. They didn't know yet what he was going to do for them. But God began to announce who he would be. And he began to drop revelation into certain people's hearts about what was going to happen through Jesus. And so Mary had a prophetic song burst out of her, the mother of Jesus, and she sang this song. My soul is ecstatic, overflowing with praises to God. My spirit bursts with joy over my life-giving God. For he set his tender gaze upon me. I'm just a lowly servant girl. But from here on, everyone will know that I have been favored and blessed. The mighty one has worked a mighty miracle for me, and holy is his name. Mercy kisses all who fear him from one generation to the next. Mighty power flows from him to scatter all those who walk in pride. Powerful princes he tears from their thrones, and he lifts up the lowly to take their place. Those who hunger for him will always be satisfied. But the smug and the self-satisfied he will send away empty. But he will never forget to show mercy. And he has helped his chosen servant Israel, keeping his promises to Abraham and to his descendants forever. Mary didn't even know that would come out of her mouth, but that's what happened when she was with Elizabeth. And then they went and they dedicated him in the temple. And Zechariah was there. And he was the prophet that was going to dedicate the baby that day. And when he saw him, something also burst forth out of him. And so he was filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit, and he prophesied saying this: Praise be to the exalted Lord God of Israel, for he has seen us through eyes of grace. Thank you. And he comes as our hero God to set us free. He appears as a mighty Savior, a trumpet of redemption from the house of David, his servant, just as he promised long ago by the words of his holy prophets. And they prophesied he would come one day and save us from every one of our enemies and from the power of those who hate us. And now he has shown us the mercy promised to our ancestors, for he has remembered his holy covenant. He has rescued us from the power of our enemies, and he has fulfilled a sacred oath that he made with our father Abraham. And now we can boldly worship him with our holy lives, living in purity as priests in his presence every day. How many of you know prophecies last forever? And then an unexpected thing happened. On the day that Jesus was born. And that night in a field near Bethlehem, shepherds were watching over their flocks, and suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared in radiant splendor before them. And they lit up the field with blazing glory of God and terrified the shepherds. But the angel reassured them, saying this: Don't be afraid, for I am coming to give you good news. The most joyous news the world has ever heard, and it is for everyone, everywhere. Today in Bethlehem, a rescuer was born for you. He is the Lord Yahweh, the Messiah. You will recognize him by a miraculous sign. You will find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a feeding trough. Then all at once in the night sky, a vast number of glorious angels appeared, the very armies of heaven. And they all praise God, singing, "Glory to God in the highest realms of heaven, for there is peace and there is good hope given to the sons of men." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, people don't know sometimes what they're really doing when they give gifts to others. There's such an importance that Jesus, that the Father did by giving gifts to us through Jesus. There's so much that happens when we give gifts to others, just like when you guys give gifts to me and I give gifts to you, and people touch your hearts in ways that you do not know. And many times it brings about something that the Lord wants to announce. And so this year, Susan just went a little bit crazy and buying me gifts. I don't know. She just went around buying stuff, but I told her she gave me gifts that were for my body, soul, and spirit. And I'm going to share the one that met my spirit. So we know the story of the alabaster box. And there was a lady that came who anointed Jesus right before he went to the cross. And it says in Mark 14, being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came in having a flask of very costly oil, spikenard. And she broke the flask open and poured it on his head. This account is more correctly interpreted as she broke the seal. Now, hers was a lot bigger than this. The alabasters of the day were sealed and made fast to not let the perfume escape. It is not likely that she would break the flask or the box, because it would not have easily poured on Jesus' head if it was broken. So she received from Jesus what no other player in the redemption story received. He said this to her. Now I want you to imagine this scene. This is just a little flask, and it's alabaster, so even in the instructions they sent, they said it'll absorb all of the fragrance of the spikenard. So if you put it in, it'll eventually disappear because it all goes into this. And so she brought a big one. It was a whole year's salary for most people in that day. And she poured it upon her Savior's head. And the people had a problem with it. They said, why didn't she sell it, and we could have given that money to the poor? That's just like a religious thought, isn't it? You know what it really is? They're jealous. They're jealous because they could see something that they had never done. They could see somebody honoring him with something that cost her everything. And what they had to offer after that would seem minimal. When we are presented to our Savior on that day, I don't want to be the one who gave him a drop of my life, or a drop of worship, or a drop of praise. I want him to know that throughout my life, I was pouring out a whole jar that would cost me everything. Because it cost him everything. When they said to him, oh, she shouldn't have done that, he said something very wonderful about that. He said, wherever the gospel is preached, wherever the gospel is preached, all over the world, to every person, this story will be heard. Because she's preparing me for my burial. Why do I love that story so much? Because we will never have the opportunity of preparing him for his burial. But we can prepare others for eternal life. Because this oil was poured out on us. He said to her, your sins are forgiven. Imagine, out of everything that she needed, she didn't need more money. She gave it all away anyway. She just needed to know she was secured with him forever. And so he's poured his love and his anointing all over us, and it was an act of worship from her. And it was going to be remembered forever and ever and ever. And Jesus said, if somebody owed you money, and then another one had money to pay him back, and he canceled the debts of everyone, which one would love him more? And Simon said, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled. And he said, you have judged correctly. And he said, you see this woman? She came into your house and you didn't give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and she wiped them with her hair. You didn't give me a kiss, but this woman from the time has in her head's not stopped kissing my feet. You didn't put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on me. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. She poured her life for him. And so the question that I have today for you, and the question I had to ask myself, was this. I know what he's done for me. I don't understand it. I know I could never earn it. But I had to think about, what does Jesus mean to me? What does he mean to me? He's the one who left glory so I could receive the fragrant oil of his presence every day. That's what he means to me. I'm never alone. I'm never without his presence being available in my everyday life. I know he loves me forever, forever. He won't stop loving me, and that he'll be faithful to his promises to me. He's the one that guided my heart, and he's the one who guides my life, and he is the one who transferred my dark, lonely, wretched self out of darkness into light, and he is the one I love, and he is worthy of my whole life. And so you've received the greatest gift of all if you know him. The disciples didn't know him when he first came, and they were still operating under the law. But then their lives were turned upside down when he came and when they got a revelation of him. And so the question today is, what does Jesus mean to you? If you've never known his salvation and his how he can transport you from one place of emptiness and darkness into his marvelous light, Merry Christmas. The Savior is born. He has died and he has resurrected. And so if you've never known him or you would like to know him more, I just want to say today is an opportunity for you to do that. And he is the most precious gift you'll ever know. And so let's just bow our heads for 1 minute. Well, Lord, I just feel what you're saying for this next year is so much for us to be obedient, to be aware of the needs of other people. And Lord, the greatest need of all is salvation. And so, Jesus, I thank you for saving me, for changing me, and I pray this prayer for others. If you want to join me in this prayer, that would be awesome. Say, Father God, I really believe that Jesus is your son. I believe that you loved me so much that he came to live and he came to die, carrying my sins to that cross. And so I ask you, Jesus, apply your salvation to my heart today. Awaken me to the revelation of who you are to me personally. Forgive me of my sins. Wipe them all away. And let me know you. And let me live for you all the days of my life. Amen. So, I just wanted to ask you, some of you who are willing to say, what does Jesus mean to you? You know, this isn't about me, it's about him. But I know some of you probably need to give him some glory for what he's done in your life. This is a marvelous opportunity. We've taken time today for this purpose, and it's not for nothing. It's for him.
I'll make this brief. I was having a conversation last night with some friends we had dinner with, and we were talking about loving Jesus. And I had said to the person, there's a young girl that was there, and I told her, Janice is like the most important relationship that I have on this earth. Like my love for her, there's nothing on this earth that compares. But that love that I have for her is garbage compared to my love for Jesus, my relationship with Jesus, you know? And she did that. She did that. She said, I second that. So he's everything. Like there's nothing, there's zero, nothing that even comes close to what I feel for him. And where's my brother? Oh, and how, and my affection and my adoration and my appreciation, my gratitude for him, there's absolutely nothing that can compare to that. Zero.
All right, how y'all doing? Everybody all right? All right, check me right on. Jesus is everything to me. I'm here because of him. Nothing else. You know what I mean? I know without him I'd have been dead or probably still in prison. And even right now, he don't want hold of me right now. Nobody else. You know what I mean? So I'm still kind of rough around the edges. I try, but it is what it is. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, God, Jesus, everything to me, period. Who got next? All right.
He is everything, but he's my refuge. Any moment, any time I need him, he's there. Even in the good times and the bad times, he's there. Always there. Amen.
I knew she was gravitating toward me. the same way I knew Pastor Don was coming towards me that first day. Man, he's so many things. I don't know how you just pick one thing. He's my intimate friend. And that's the one thing that I can say, is that he's been my constant. Through many people, thank God for the people who have the heart of Jesus, he has shown me love, his love through them, even when I didn't love myself. And so, as a prodigal son, I really appreciate his consistency in how he shows adoration and love towards us in our sins. It says we love him because he loved us first.
Okay, so Jesus is everything. Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is love, and because of his love, we get to love on other people. So like Steve was saying, you love your family, you love your children, you love your spouse, you love your mom and dad, but until you don't know him and his love, you can't love more or to a greater dimension and love on each other. So he is love. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you. He's everything. Next. I'm so wowed by how he hears every prayer, every even wish of your heart. He holds tenderly. I have to say, he answers all my prayers, and I'm amazed. And even better than I expect, and I'm amazed.
Well, I know he changed my life totally quite a while ago. But in my heart, I really believe, and I'm trying to encourage other brothers and sisters, right now in this world, the most important thing we can do is to go out and share that love with the people out there that don't know him. Because the day's coming, you can tell it's coming, when we're going to leave, and there's not going to be anybody able to do that and talk to them. And I don't know about you, but my heart is, I want to get as many people out of going down there and put them going back up there instead.
The scripture says there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You know, that's an amazing thing. We've worked with people who believed in evil spirits, who believe in ancestral spirits, who worshiped all kinds of gods that they couldn't see. And the word of God says there's none other name under heaven given among in the whole world whereby we must be saved. And you know what that means? That means there's only one way. That's an amazing thing. You know, God had a plan that his son would become one of us, and that he is the only way. I want to say hallelujah.
So, of course, everything that everyone has said, but I'm always struck on Christmas that our God, the creator of everything, the heavens and earths and everything underneath it, came to live with us, came to walk on his creation and interact with his creation. And, you know, maybe I watched that show a couple times, the Chosen a few times, and you get to see what might have been the relationship that Jesus had with people that he created, with the first time that he walked on grass and he created it, and looked at the sky that he created, and that was having conversations with people about things that they didn't understand that he created, and that he came to show us how to live life as a human and he cared that much. To me, that was the greatest thing that Christ has ever done, or that God has ever done, is to come as Christ to earth. That he cared so much about us that he came and interacted with us. And this also sounds very weird, but people that have great imaginations and are imagining what it would be like. So Marvel, okay, Marvel comics and all the Marvel cartoons that we see, there's still never anyone that imagines creating everything and then coming and interacting with that creation. He didn't come to fight us. He didn't come to destroy us. He didn't come to dictate to us. He didn't come to hold over us. He came to love us and interact with us and show us that we could walk earth and live our lives as he did. And it just is an amazing, amazing, amazing thing to me.
Hi, my name is Zach. It's my first time at this church. And Merry Christmas. I not to be different, but I just have to be honest. I have, what is Jesus to me? I've been a lot of things. I've been an atheist. I've been objectivist. I've been a lot of different belief systems and philosophies. And though I've given myself to Jesus multiple times, there's been multiple churches, multiple opportunities that I have given myself to Jesus. And every time I try to get back, because what he is to me, no matter what I believed, he was always the goal. And he's the gauge that I compare myself to. It's no matter what I believed in, I always tried to be more like him. And no matter what I struggle with my faith, I always try to be more like him. And that's what he means to me.
Thank you. I thank God for this day. Number one, it is Christmas. But when I leave home in the morning to go to work, I have one thing in mind. I ask God to give me somebody to speak to. And that's just my firm hunger and desire for him. So, yeah, Saturday. When did I work last? I forgot. When did I work? Friday? Friday. I happened to go in the break room. And the young guy was with me. His name was Jose. He's about 19 years old. And all of a sudden, a topic ensued that we're talking about finding their mate. And there was another woman. I knew the reason that he said that. He's a very handsome young man. And the women around there are trying to toot their horn. So he came in and we started talking. And as we began to talk, Jose looked at me and I told him what God says about marriage. Soon as I opened up my mouth, it seemed like the break room got full. And it was all young people. I'm saying holy Jesus. And we only got 15 minutes. I know I can get this thing surmised in a few minutes that we could talk about this, the right way, whatever God would say. But I began to share my testimony about how God brought me through a lot of things in marriage by making the wrong mistake. But I thank God I made the right one now, okay? But but I shared that with him, and there was a young lady stood up, and she wanted to give a testimony. We only got 15 minutes, but she began to say, I went through the same thing with different husbands and stuff like that. So what I'm saying about Jose, he started crying because what I said to him, you will know the one that God got for you. It would hit you at the bottom of your heart, and then you'll spring up like a wild chicken, okay?
because you will know exactly whom God has for you. He started tearing up. The next guy came in named Javier. He said, yeah, I've been looking for one. I said, you won't find it unless you know Jesus. And it just carried over. The next thing in the break room, so when the director came to the door, she didn't know what was going on in the break room. But then she looked around. She said, oh, that's Duffy. And I just thank God for that.
Jesus is a matchmaker, evidently, to you.
Well, I thank and praise God for Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your son. I was on my way to hell, and Jesus got a hold of me. And he's my best friend. He's my savior. He's my King of Kings. He's my Lord of Lords. And I know and I thank him for making me a new creation. And I have a burden in my heart for those that are lost. You don't know what you're missing. Come to Jesus just as you are, in Jesus' name.
Mine is, he's such a gift. This year, I think more than any other year, I started to think about the world before Jesus. Christmas is about before the Holy Spirit was here and after he was always present, and how dark that must have been. And especially lately, the peace and the comfort and the constant companion was made available to us because he came. They didn't have it. They had to wait for like a miraculous intervention to feel the presence of God. Otherwise, it was just trying to keep rules and living a very desperate kind of hope that Jesus would someday come and it would all change. And then he did. And we get to live in this era where he's our constant companion. He's our comforter, our peace, and our hope. I'm very grateful.
Jesus really is everything, and I think the older I get, the more you realize how feeble we are and how short life is and how broken people are, and you know, people disappoint, and you disappoint yourself sometimes, but Jesus has never ever disappointed me ever. He's never left. Even when we try to push him away, he never goes anywhere. He just doesn't. He just doesn't. So I'm grateful for the evidence of Jesus in my life. Even when I doubt or I forget, all I have to do is look around at my life before Jesus and after Jesus, and there's no comparison, because I look at my family and I look at where I was brought from, and I look at how every year Jesus loves, I'll say this, Jesus, he loves family, and he has a very high value on family. And every time every year that goes by, it's like we get closer and we get bigger, and there's just so much more of him that I see, even in the brokenness of what comes with family. So
kind of to echo what Ashley was saying about family, this is a time of year when I think everyone's inner child kind of comes out a little bit, and we all have a child inside of us that I think we're called to be more like. And Jesus is the perfect father and the perfect mother. And so I have wonderful parents. These two wonderful parents, I've got my parents in Tennessee, I've got a wonderful family, and I didn't grow up in a broken home, but to have wonderful parents even echoes how great, even more so, Jesus is at being the perfect parent. And I think just going back to that child inside of yourself, we all need a lap to sit on sometimes. We all need an ear that's always listening. Someone that when you tell them you've you know, metaphorically knocked over your mom's china, that, you know, he's not mad. He's there for you, that he loves you. And the family part of it's huge. And he's just perfect at it.
So mine, well, of course, everything that everybody said. But if I had to put in just one little phrase of what Jesus is to me, I would have to say, he's the lover of my soul. He's the lover of my soul. And I think that I'm starting to realize more and more that's what everybody needs to know. He's the lover of their soul. And they either they don't know him at all, or what they know of him, they don't know the truth about him, that he's really just the lover of our souls. And that's what it's all, you know, about. That's why he did all that he did, because he loves us so much. And yeah, and I think that if we just share that, we'll be good.
Everybody has such good things to say. For me, I guess my relationship has changed a lot with Jesus over the years. I've matured a lot in my faith in him. And right now, I guess what Jesus is to me is my provider. He's provided a new life for me because I was headed down a pretty dark path. He's provided new opportunities for me, love, amazing new people that I've met and that I'm surrounded by, and an amazing new church. So I'm just very grateful.
Praise God, the Lord of
done. I just need one more worship song. we thank you that we came to honor you, and it is a privilege for us to do so. Lord, I thank you for the love we feel in this room, even between each other, and that's because of you too. And so, Lord, I pray that this will be a year that everything changes and that more and more people will come to know you as not only the one who was born, but the one who is risen. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Oh, she could say one thing if I don't know where it is.
What we read as a family, they said he's the lamb, and that's what we were talking about. But this, I never knew it before. In Bethlehem is where they prepared the lambs for the sacrifice, for the sacrificial system for the temple. So when the shepherds got the newborn lamb, they would wrap him in those swaddling cloths and lay him in the mangers, so that they couldn't hurt themselves before they got ready for the temple worship. And that's why they swaddled Jesus. It was a picture of who he is for all of us. He's the lamb.
He's the lamb.
Was wrapped in cloths, laid in a manger, awaiting to be the sacrifice forever, forever, forever. And that's why we have joy today.
That's why we have joy today. Amen. Amen. That was beautiful. Okay, so you know, I love you. But who do we love the most? And who loves us the most? And who loves them the most? Okay, prove it by helping clean up. So I don't want Susan and Janice and those that have helped this morning to do all the work. So if you would please just help however you can. If you can assign somebody from your table to help out, we would sure appreciate it.
Thank you for joining us today at Liberty Life Center. We hope you were challenged and encouraged by today's message. Visit us online at libertylifecenter.org, where we have links to other archived messages and even a place to give. Be sure to like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Liberty Life Center. We hope you'll join us again next week. In the meantime, embrace, display, and share God's love.